Hey guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
To bank or not to bank? That is the question. Sure, this may not have been a problem in Shakespearean times, but it certainly is a question that comes up all the time now. So if you're currently pregnant with twins, you gotta make sure that you do your research on banking your twinnies' cord blood. A great place to start is at cordblood.com. That's the website of our friends over at Cord Blood Registry. Your newborn's umbilical cord blood contains powerful stem cells that have been used to regenerate healthy blood and immune systems in transplant medicine. These stem cells are also being investigated for their potential use in regenerative medicine. Preserving your child's newborn stem cells at birth is an opportunity to provide access to current and potential future stem cell treatment options for your family. So learn more today at cordblood.com or call 1-888-CORD-BLOOD. Use code DUO2 for special twins pricing through Twiniversity.
Hey guys, it's me. All right, I want to give you a disclaimer about today's podcast. It could come off as very sad. I could come off actually as pretty cold. So I want to give you that disclaimer first. So today we're talking to Janelle Fragile, and she is a mama of 2.5-year-old twinnies. In her previous fantastic awesomeness, she was a kindergarten teacher. And now she is a dedicated full-time mama of her babies. And she is not a single parent by choice. Unfortunately, she is a very early unexpected widow. Her husband, Keith, passed away not even that long ago, to be honest with you. It was a kind of a surprise diagnosis. And Janelle is here now. And with the support of her family and friends and the love of her twinnies and the love of her husband, it's a really great love story. And so when I'm talking to Janelle today, there's going to be moments that I think I even say it towards the end of the podcast that I come off as cold. But Janelle is a nice Italian girl, and despite my last name being Diaz, I'm kind of a nice Italian girl too. And the way that we deal with death in our family seems to be very similar to the way that Janelle does. And instead of, you know, of course you're grieving, but there is a kind of like a wholesomeness to it that there's still a piece of Keith that's with her. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I mean, it's a story that none of us want to ever have happen to us. I will tell you that Janelle is just one of the many widowed parents that we have at Twiniversity. I believe we might have one or two podcasts of a widowed parent before. We've had, you know, I'm telling you, it's important to ask the questions that need to be asked. And it's important to make sure that you tell your partner every day how much they mean to you. And if this podcast today does not do that for you, I really don't know what does. So I know that after we taped this, I went and held John a little bit tighter. And I'm really appreciative for what I have in my life and for the people that surround me. And Janelle is equally as lucky with the people that surround her. So without further ado, here is my friend Janelle. Janelle, I'm so happy that you're here with me today. And I really wish that it was on better terms of a better topic. But I do know that, unfortunately, you are not the only mom that's going through this in our group. And we actually had a podcast similar to this, I think about 1.5 years ago. And we always say, right, at Twiniversity that it takes a team and you need your village. Mm-hmm. And when your village gets, you know, annihilated, it's so much more difficult. And I can't even, like, I can't imagine what you're going through. And I'm so glad that you're like, okay, Nat, yes, this is what I'm going through, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about some strategies. Here's what's going to happen. And I love that you're willing to do that. And I think it is because you're a teacher and you just, it's perpetually educating. So you're like, absolutely, good or bad, we're going to learn from our experiences.
Yeah. And you know, I'm the type of person that definitely needs to talk about things. Like, I'm not the type that's going to keep it in, you know, when something's bothering me. That's how I've always been. I just need to get it off my chest, you know, need to say it. And I feel like now is the perfect time to, you know?
It really, really is. And so now, before we were talking a little bit, and you said that initially, so your husband was Keith. And it was, you didn't even know anything was going on until after our baby girls got here.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, you know, twin pregnancy, of course, you're so scared throughout the whole thing because there's complications, you know, you're watching everything, you're going to, you know, your high risk doctors and making sure everything's okay. So I feel like our main focus was those two babies, you know, so we were worried just about them. And, you know, throughout the whole pregnancy and everything, Keith felt fine. He felt good, you know. And then it was probably, you know, they were born in March, probably around August is when he started to not feel good. You know, he was losing weight and his appetite wasn't good. And you can just tell, you know, something wasn't right. And I said, we have to do something. You have to go to the doctor. We have to get it, you know, everything checked. We have to get blood work. Let's see what's going on. And then he went to the doctor and the doctor said, you have lymphoma and we're going to tackle this. We're going to do everything we have to do. And that's what we did, you know? And like I said, for that moment, you know, yes, initially we were, of course, so nervous and scared and upset. But again, that team effort comes through and we're like, we're going to do this. You know, we can do this. We'll do this together. We have each other's backs and we'll get through it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did.
It's something obviously that nobody ever expects. But did you, for the time that you were together, did you ever have conversations about the what ifs?
You know, it's crazy that you say that because we only did a little bit of that, you know, just a little bit of the what ifs. And nothing ever really was set in stone or serious, you know, like we would just kind of like talk silly about things, but never anything of a serious note. Yeah. And, you know, when I look back, I wish we did have more of those conversations, but you know, who wants to, you know, when you're thinking like, well, I'm young, you're young, like we got to talk about where we're going to be buried one day, if we want to be here, if we want to be there or a will or, you know, all those things. But now in hindsight, that all needs to be talked about, unfortunately, and nobody ever wants to have those conversations. But now knowing all of that is so important, especially when you have kids, you know, as a mom. And, you know, right after that, I had a will drawn up and it felt so weird. I remember leaving like the lawyer's office with a will in my hand. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, why do I even have to do this? But you have to, like, that's what, you know, is so crazy, really. Just, you know, you just really don't know what's going to happen from day to day, but it's good to have it and to be secure in that and know if, God forbid, something were to happen to me, my girls are taken care of and I know, you know, who would be their guardians and what would go on and, you know, all that stuff. But I really did wish we had more time to discuss those things, Keith and I, and we didn't, you know, even when he was first diagnosed, we never ever even said, well, Janelle, what if something happens to me, you know? You know, are you going to stay here? Would you move back by your mom? Would you get your, you know, we never discussed any of that because it wasn't even a thought. We'd be like, no, everything's going to be fine, Keith. You're going to be, you're good.
Plus the girls were so little and you're still in that tornado of newborns. And so there wasn't, you know, there isn't time to have any kind of real discussions as it is. And it's not something that people typically think about during pregnancy to say, okay, of course, know, what am I going to do? And what are the conversations? It's horrible. It really is. It's so sad. We actually talk a lot about this in class because we found, and I don't know if it's because honestly, Janelle, that when my twins were little, I had a very good friend that was in the twin club with me and her husband passed away unexpectedly. And that was my reality check. Like, oh crap. Okay. we got to get everything together. We got to get everything organized. And I remembered that my husband was like, what are we doing? Why are we, you know, what are we talking about? But his father had passed away when he was very young. And so he was like, actually, you know what? It's actually a good idea. And then when we found out, because, you know, when you just have little kids, you don't know if your family is going to grow. And I always thought that when you wrote a will, you had to be like, and to Anna, I leave my diamond ring. I was like, I had this very weird, like, cinema impression of what creating a will was. I didn't know that it just says my children, whether you have twins, whether you have, you know, nine, it doesn't really matter. It's just your children. You don't really, you don't think about that. But
yeah,
it's really, really tough. Now, when did you know that things were like, okay, this isn't just going to go away tomorrow?
Well, you know, I would say August is when he found everything out. By October, we started chemo treatments.
Yeah.
And I remember the doctor saying, you know, okay, we're going to hit this good. We're going to hit it aggressive. The only thing is he's going to have to be at the hospital 5 days in a row. And I remember sitting in, like, she lost me after that. Like, I'm like, that's all I kept thinking. I was like, 5 days in a row, he's going to be away from us. How am I going to do this by myself? It's just going to be me and the babies, and Keith's not going to be here. How are we going to do this? So then, and him too, like, I remember looking in his face and he was thinking the same thing. He was worried about me and the girls. Like, how am I going to do this? How's my wife going to take care of them alone without me? So, you know, of course, we walked out of there and I said, all right, we're going to do this. It'll be fine. I'll see you. You know, we have help around. We'll ask my mom and your mom and everybody will pitch in. Don't worry about it. I want you to be okay while you're there getting treatment. It'll be fine. And that was October, November and December. You know, we got through all the holidays and, you know, of course, all the things along the way. His hair is falling out and, you know, upset about that. And he was afraid, you know, are the babies going to recognize me? And I said, oh, Keith, of course, like, they would never not know you're their dad, you know, that doesn't matter to them, you know, and all those things along the way. And then in February, we got like great news that everything looked like it was in remission. So we had like a mini celebration, you know, just us and our family. And we were so excited. We said, all right, this is good. We'll just keep doing what we have to do. And then by March, it just came back really like aggressive.
So it was,
and then at that point,
it was less than a year.
Less than a year.
Janelle, that's unbelievable. That is not even a minute to comprehend the what ifs.
No.
So to say that you like wish you would have, it's almost impossible.
It was
a second. Plus with the newborns.
Yes. That's so, it, you know, but I was thinking like, you know, should we have had more conversations those couple months? But who was even thinking of that? Yeah. We were just thinking of the next time, you know, and I look back and I'm like, well, maybe God was preparing me those days of just me and the girls while he was getting treatment. That's the only way I could try to put it into some type of perspective.
Yeah.
I was just being prepared for this life now of just me and the girls. And yes, of course you have your help, you have family nearby, but at the end of the day, it's just me. I'm their mom, you know, and I'm the one that's making the decisions. And of course you can ask people for their opinions and their advice, but at the end of the day, it's you, you know, your mom, you're the parent. So
when he passed away, did you have any notice, or was it that he like went in one day and not, was it a week? Was it a month? Like how much time did you know that, okay, I'm going to savor every second of this?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like a very, very last minute thing. He ended up going into the hospital in March for a reoccurrence and he was in tremendous pain. So like a lymph node popped up in the stomach. So he was like in pain beyond. So he went into the hospital and that was of course in the middle of COVID. So the hospital was running rampant with COVID and there's cancer patients. And I remember him calling me saying, Janelle, I'm in a room with another person. And I'm like, but Keith, you're a cancer patient. You can't be sharing a room with anyone that is, God forbid, sick or has COVID. Like there has to be. And he's like, Janelle, there's nowhere for us to go. Like, it was just such a horrible, horrible time for him to be admitted into the hospital at that point. So it was just, you know, from that point on, it was just one thing after another. They were trying to tackle the lymphoma. And while he's there, he's catching infections of whatever else is going on. And it was just one thing after another. And of course, I couldn't be there, which was the worst thing ever. You know, and you're trying to talk to nurses, I'm trying to talk to him. And it was just a terrible, terrible time for him to be in there at that point.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, it just was, yeah, it was just terrible, just terrible. Just a terrible time.
Once he passed away, and now you're you go through the whole process of the ceremonies and doing everything that you have to do. And when you finally get home, how did you start to say, okay, this is what I need to do? Keith would be very upset if I didn't do X, Y, and Z. How did you kind of pull yourself together during the pandemic with little kids? How did you possibly do that?
It was rough. It was every day I would just wake up thinking like that this was just a horrible nightmare and it can't be real. And how could this be real? Like that he's just no longer here.
Yeah.
And yeah, throughout the whole pandemic, who could really come over to do anything with me? You know, everybody was scared of everything. You know, we couldn't all be together. How could we be together? You know, but every day I would just wake up and I'm like, no, I have to do this. Those two little babies rely on me. I'm the one that has to do everything for them and feed them and make sure they're okay and do everything that is necessary. And I just had Keith in the back of my mind, like, no, you can do this. I'm sending you all the strength that you need. I'm sending you all the guidance you need. And I didn't want to be away from you girls. I would never want to leave you. And, you know, but you can do this. You can do this. And I just kept having that in the back of my head. Like, no, I have to do this for him. I have to do anything I can for those two babies. They rely on me and I can't let them down. You know, what good of use would I be to them if I was just laying in bed all day? And of course I wanted to do that. There's days I still want to do that. And I don't want to ever get up and do anything, but I have to, you know, and that's why I always say they're like my two little blessings, because if I didn't have them, what would it even be like, or how would I even be? I don't know, but I do know that those two babies are what I physically have left of Keith. Like, they're half of him and half of me. And that's like my driving force every day. It's them. And there's something to be said too about the twin mom strength. Regardless of being a widow, regardless of having your husband, you're a solo parent, twin moms, they're strong from the get-go, because from the beginning, you know, oh, there's two heartbeats. Okay, so now what? Like, whoa, how am I, I take care of one baby, now I'm taking care of two. How am I going to do this? And we adapt and we do it and we do a really good job. It's from the get-go, we're I don't know, just the chosen ones.
We don't get a choice, right?
No.
Every day the sun rises and you're like, okay, today I'm going to do it right.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. I'm still trying to figure that out. So what do you do now with the girls to kind of remember Keith? Like, did you make like a book of his? Do you have, you know, clothing of his? Like, how is he with you every day?
Well, every day, as soon as I go in there in the morning when they wake up, we say good morning to his picture. So we have his picture on their nightstand. We kiss it. We say good morning, Dad. And we talk to him a little bit. And right after he passed, I had two teddy bears made out of his shirt. So each girl got one of them and they like hug it. And, you know, even I have a pillow too made out of a picture of him. So they're still so connected to him. And I know that they're very young, so they're not at the point where they're understanding, or, you know, as they get older, of course, they're going to ask more questions. But just right now, I could tell they're very, very aware of, you know, his picture and things that remind, you know, us of him, you know. And right after he had passed away, a red cardinal would come to the yard, but like constantly, whenever we were out there, the cardinal was there, either here, when I was by my in-laws, the cardinal was there. Any which way, there was a cardinal somewhere, and it was super comforting. And I'm like, no, that's Daddy. He's here with us. So I had just recently got the girls like these little stuffed cardinals, and they like hug them and kiss them. And I'm like, they know.
But they also know because of you.
Yes.
You know, because it's really a testament to you, and it's a testament to your love of him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So like you have to remember that too. Like we, as parents, we get to create the history for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could have written him out of the story. And you could have said,
Never. Nope,
today's a new day and this is what it is. But that is not how we roll.
No. And that'll never be, ever. That'll never be.
I don't know. Does your family go to cemeteries? Do you have things like that? Have the girls gone? Do you have any of that?
Yes. And I was going to the cemetery every morning. And I still go probably 3 times a week. Like if I can't get there every day, but I'll go there often. And actually, on Monday, I took the girls with me. And, you know, they don't understand yet, of course, where we're going or where we are or what, but like, you know, we'll drive through and I'm like, oh, let's, you know, say hi to daddy, we love you, you know, continue to watch over us and protect us and we miss you. And, you know, just, we talk and then we drive through.
I love that. I really love that. I sometimes have friends and I have other family members that don't have that, like they mm-hmm. I love going to the cemetery. I've been going.
I always
the odds are, because
we have to say that, but I always have.
Nope.
It feels like
Janelle,
peaceful there.
Janelle, you're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't know if it's something that maybe Italians do more.
Mm-hmm.
But I always went even as a little girl. And
yes,
it was
like my grandmother
all the time. Mm-hmm. We had a table that my uncle would put a table and chairs and we would sit by the graveside and have lunch.
That's not even crazy to me. I would do that.
But see, Janelle, if like we're talking to other people that are listening
they
to this right
that.
Now,
yeah.
They're like, what is wrong with them? Like we would bring my uncle like a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yes, he died, you know, 8 years
yes.
ago, but still,
still
it was what you
I
did.
I know.
That's it. And we still go now. And I think there's a lot of comfort in that. And for your
there
girls,
is.
They're going to grow up with that being the norm too. And if you
yes.
find comfort there, they're going to find comfort there.
Absolutely.
So it's like, that's another thing that I mean. It's like with the story that we make, like we're writing
mm-hmm.
that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, there's definitely people who were like, I can't face that. And I can't go there. And I can't look
of
at
course.
That. And then get upset.
There's many. Yes.
But then they get upset that their kids are like, how could you not? It's like, if you mm-hmm. can't face something, how could they face it?
Of course. And it's hard. It is. It's hard. You know, people are like, well, I don't have to go to a cemetery to feel close or to say, well, that's your feeling too. But like I said, for me and for you, like, I don't know. I just always
cemetery.
Feel like, I always have gone and I've always felt like a sense of peace while
me
I'm
too.
There. And I'm like, I wonder if this is what heaven feels like a little bit. That's just like nice, peaceful, calm. Nothing hurts. Everything feels light. Like, feeling maybe
it is I guess also depends on your cemetery, but typically they're such beautiful serene
yes.
places, and if that is what your family chooses of how they're gonna be buried, you know,
yes.
I'm not speaking ill against
of course
people. Probably like I can't, God only knows how many people are cremated and still buried there, because that's still a thing, but
yes,
it's a real great way to just keep that going. And so I was telling Janelle before that, like, we're here for generations and generations. And so we have, I think, 5 generations buried in the same area. And it's very comforting to me. And so I'm glad that you go and that the girls are going to have that to always be close to their pops.
Oh. Definitely.
When you, for the time that you had together and the four of you were together, Was there any beginnings of traditions that you were starting that you're going to continue even with him not here?
Yeah, I mean, just doing the traditions that we grew up doing, like Keith and I, you know, and that was as easy and simple as like having Sunday dinner all together, you know, and that's something that Keith loved to do with his family. And that's what I love to do with mine. So we were starting to do that with the girls. We would take them by my aunt and have, you know, a nice big Sunday dinner with pasta and sauce, and or even as simple as like going out to dinner, you know, on the weekends. And I know a lot of parents are like, well, that's kind of hard to bring the kids to dinner. And yeah, of course it is, you know, but we always were like, no, we're going to do everything all together. And I didn't mean that, you know, we didn't want to have a date night, just him and I. Of course, I think every couple needs that too. But we were starting that tradition as well, like going out to eat on either a Friday or Saturday all together as a family and doing those Sunday dinners and, you know, maybe possibly taking a trip just us four. And we did do that as well. The babies were young. They were like 6 months old. And we had gone down to the shore for a couple of days with my in-laws and, you know, Keith and stuff. And, you know, like they were babies then. So it was hard for them to really enjoy it. But it was nice, you know, that we did that as a vacation as a family. So it was nice. I still have, of course, all those pictures and everything. And I look back at that. And it was nice that we did something together like that and went away.
If somebody's listening to this right now and they are listening to you and it's, when I'm speaking to Janelle, by the way, I'm afraid that people are going to think that I'm coming off as callous, but I don't know if it's just that I have a very different perception of death than that it's not the end. It's like a pause button there and then we're still pressing play. But then at some point we're all pressing play together. So that's just me. And that's not even like, you know, a religious doctrine. That is a Natalie Diaz. That's just how we roll. That's how I've always rolled. I'm not, I would never say I was a very religious person, but I'm a very spiritual person. So I don't want you to think that I'm being callous either. I'm like, okay, this is our reality, unfortunately. Yes. I mean, nobody wants this reality, but it's the one we have, and you still have to make it great for the babies.
Absolutely.
But if somebody's listening to this and they're saying, how the heck is she even able to talk to this? These are still fresh wounds. How did you get to this point? Was it therapy from the hospital? Was it, you know, an organization that was contacting you every day? Was it your family members that were coming by? How did you take the little steps every day to say, okay, here we are. And, you know, just say good morning to daddy. Because, you know, not everybody could do that.
No, of course not. No. And I feel like there was probably, there's a multiple sources that you use, you know, any which way that it could help.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did want to speak with someone. I did want to go to a therapist that specialized in bereavement. And I did start that journey right after. And I said, you know, I need to get out what I feel, and I want to say things, and how I'm so mad and angry and upset that this happened to me. And, you know, and I also felt bad to talk about it with people that were close to me. Like, I didn't want to say it to my mom and to, you know, because I felt like, am I going to say something that's going to make them feel even more sad, or they're going to be sad that I'm sad. And so I'm like, it just needs to be a neutral person that can just listen. And, you know, so that definitely helped. And also, yes, of course, being around people that have also gone through something like that, you know, and I had two close friends that had lost their husbands. They, you know, they didn't have twins, but they had kids, and I would talk to them a lot, and they would say, like, there's nothing that you could say that sounds crazy, because we know it. We live it. We understand. So you can say anything and nothing is off limits. So that helps too. And it is, you usually gravitate toward the people that can share the similar experience, you know? Yeah. So that helps. And of course, being around friends and family and just anyone to lean on, and just to, and you pull out all the tricks, anything that you can, you know, do. And, and I would always say, like, I look for the tiniest bit of peace in every day. And that could be as simple as my iced coffee. That could be as simple as a lemon in my water, like anything that just brings me a tad bit of like peace for like a little bit. I'll go with that. You just look for the smallest amount of peace in each day to try to help.
Is anything. There a lot of peace with those girls that are almost three?
Right now?
How's that going?
Some days it's super peaceful and some days it is not.
How are they with each other? Are they BFFs or arch enemies?
Sometimes they're BFFs, but lately they've been fighting and, you know, it's mostly like sharing stuff. They don't want to share. If, you know, and then everyone's like, well, buy two of everything. Two of everything we have, and they still want the one that the other one has. It doesn't matter.
That's it. Just give them two Tupperware containers. That's it. That's it. That's all that they need. They don't need actual toys. Give them the box that the toy came in.
Yeah. It just, you know, and when they're good, of course they're good, you know, and you're like, oh, this is wonderful. And then change is quick.
Thinking about like big picture things of like parenting decisions and, you know, milestones, do you ever think about like when you're trying to make a decision, no matter what it is, and you're going to have so many of them coming up, but do you think that you will always say like, what would Keith have said in this situation?
I think so. I think I'll always say that. And I do that a lot now, you know, and I even say to him, I'm like, if there's any way that you can send me a sign, you know, what would you want? Or do you think I'm doing a good job with this? Is this the right decision? You know, just, I mean, and I've had to so far, like I said, I, you know, had to draw up a will and stuff and, you know, just stuff with the girls and opening up a college fund or things like that. And I'm just like, I hope, you know, this is what you would want too. And I think, of course it is, like every decision I do have in the back of my mind, like, you know, Keith would be happy with this. He would be, you know, proud that we're doing this or secure in this, and he trusts my judgment and, you know, all that. Of course, it's not the same as having him hear it, and it never will be, but just having that in the back of my mind, like, okay, no, he would be happy with this. I know, you know, he would be feeling good about it.
How long were you together before the girls came along?
We were just married in 2018 and he passed away in 2020, but we were dating for like, you know, a little while before that and stuff. And then we got engaged in 2016. So, you know, and I have known him my whole life, really, since I was young. My brother and him were good friends growing up and our families knew each other. So I always knew of him. So, that's what I was saying. Like, I've known him my whole life.
Yeah. He was always there. And now, you have his family and how does his family act when they come over? Like, how's your in-laws doing? Because you said too, when you're all grieving together, you often don't want to trigger another person. So sometimes you just keep your mouth shut because you're afraid to say something.
Of course.
How are your in-laws with the girls and you?
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they have been from the start, you know, and they love them so much, of course, and they feel the same way. Like, this is their piece of Keith, you know, and, you know, my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law, and this is like their son and their brother, you know, like part of them. So, you know, they're here all the time usually. And, you know, we go there a lot. And so they're always still very much a part of everything here. And I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, I want them to be a part of their life forever, you know? Yeah. So they're very good. But yeah, like in the beginning, I was so afraid to say in front of them, like, I'm having a horrible day and I'm angry and I'm mad. I wouldn't want them to think that I can't handle it or, you know, is she all right? Like, is she going to be able to take care of the babies? And, but then I'm like, no, you know, I can still say those things and be able to do what I have to do, of course.
What is your backup plan? Like, let's say you go for an emergency root canal. How do you work it with your family? That is there a chain of command? Is there a text chain? Is there, you know, a smoke signal? What is the process if you have to get something done?
Well, I'll usually, right after I, you know, everything happened with Keith, we were living upstairs from my in-laws. And right after that, my mom is also going through breast cancer right now, but she's doing okay.
Oh, sorry.
thank God she's feeling pretty good. So right after everything with Keith, I was living there and I said to myself, you know, I want to go back where my mom is, in the house that I grew up in. There was plenty of room here and my mom was here by herself. So I figured, you know, I'll come back here. I could keep an eye on my mom, make sure she's okay. She can help me, you know, and we can just be together. So that's what I did. I moved back here where I grew up in my house and the girls and my mom. So she does help me a lot. You know, I mean, physically it's hard for her to do a lot of things, but even just to have that other person to bounce ideas off of and just that moral support and talk. And that's really what she does a lot for
it's
us.
Also security.
You know?
It's security knowing that, you know, you're not sleeping by yourself as the only adult in the house.
Yes.
And, you know, that's definitely gives you a huge peace of mind.
Absolutely. So.
That's great.
And like,
that's great that you could do
so
that.
So she's here. So if I needed to, you know, run out or something and they're taking their nap, the girls, like, you know, she'll be like, I'll watch the monitor. It's no problem. So it would be her. And of course, my mother-in-law is very close by as well. She's only a couple blocks away.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it would be like them two. And then I also have like, you know, close cousins that are like right down the block. My cousin Bella and my cousin Nick, they're usually around and they're always like, we'll come and stay with the girls, no problem, anything, you know. So I do have those helpful, you know, family members that are close by, which I'm super grateful for, of course.
That plays a big role too. I think that if you, you know, especially if you have a partner that was like deployed and you were on a base someplace. And I think about, you know, those families, and we've had that at Twiniversity.
Of course.
And then you have to, you know, move at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that go on. But I do think that one of the things that happens, especially to our military families, is that they kind of force you into the will situation and to have the uncomfortable conversations.
Talks,
because when you're deployed, you never know what's going to happen. But still, you know, you could never prepare for anything, but you could at least get organized.
Yes.
So they're two separate things. So emotionally, of course, you can never prepare for, you know, the death of your partner. I mean, who can? Unless it was like something that you knew, like, oh, well, you know, we have 6 months or like if somebody told you. But even that, honestly, Janelle, I don't think that anybody really faces the music and you just say no. You know, in 2 months, there's going to be a miracle drug that's going to come out.
Of course.
It's impossible to. And that's just that's humanity. There's nothing we could do about that. But it has to be that way because that's a whole protection thing that we do. So it's unbelievable.
No.
When you met him, how did you know that he was the one?
You know, I'm a sucker for a good sense of humor. And Keith was just always would make me laugh. Was always laughing wherever we were, whatever we were doing. You know, it was just always fun. We were always having a good time, you know, and it could, like I always said, like, even if it was just us two, like we would just make it fun, you know, just, it was definitely fun.
And you got your
girls.
Know,
a good person. Yeah. It's, and I see their his personality a lot in them, you know, like just being funny and silly and, you know, just, so it's nice to see.
You can't train that. That's a skill that hopefully it's a good sense of humor that they have and you're actually going to think it's funny for them. That's what I hope for. Oh, Janelle, I'm very, very, very sorry for you. And
thank you.
I'm just honored that you would talk to us and that I love the way that you're handling this. And I wish that everybody could have the support that you have. And even if you don't have family, for those that are listening, there are a lot of organizations
Absolutely.
That will happily help you, even local twin clubs.
Yes.
Like that's the thing that people, I love Twiniversity, obviously. I'm a little biased. However, there are really great local clubs out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you're going to run into people who've lost a partner.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, it's just the way that it goes. And it's unfortunate, but those are the people that you have to find. And I love that you said that, Janelle, too. Like it really is like you, whether it's grief or whether it's something else in your family, a lot of times if you don't talk about it because you're afraid to talk about it, that it's going to do something to somebody else. It's so not great. And that is why therapy is the best in the whole wide world.
Yeah, it really is.
I feel bad for like our moms who didn't have the acceptance of mental health.
Yeah. Even in an Italian family, like, you know, you're just like therapy. You don't go to therapy. Go talk to the priest or go to, and that's fine too. Like, that's great too. But, you know, this sometimes that's not always.
Yeah. I want everybody. I'm covering all bases. We're just doing it. I couldn't believe it when I don't remember when it was that or who went to therapy first in our family. And I remember everybody was making fun of them. And then whoever it was like, go ahead. And I was like, see, therapy's working.
Yeah.
Because normally they would be crying by now.
It would be working. Opposite.
We all have to go to therapy. I always joke that I had to find a friend that was a therapist and then invite them over for like Christmas Eve or Palm Sunday.
So they could just figure out everybody.
Like secretly, could you therapize everybody? We're just going to say you're one of my friends, but I'll pay you per hour.
That's a great idea, Nat. Yes. Oh, they would have a field day here.
Honestly, we're this building alone would be enough clientele. That's it. We just need one.
Funny.
Even my neighbors joke about it because the people who live in this building besides my family, they have been here since they were children.
Yeah.
And we always joke that there should be just a therapist that's downstairs and we're gonna come home and just find the other one sleeping in a hallway. And it's like who's mad at who today? Yes. This has since I'm a little girl I can remember it. Like we are all nuts and we're all nuts in our own way. And sometimes
and it's great though.
It is. It definitely keeps things moving. And I'm glad that you have that sense of humor and that Keith's sense of humor, hopefully the good parts of Keith's sense of humor are in the little ladies. And I just love it, Janelle. Honestly, I'm so
Thank
happy.
You.
If there is somebody that's listening to this that may be in, you know, kind of the eye of the storm, initial diagnosis, you already said that you wish that you had more discussions early on. Is there anything else that somebody could take from your experience to maybe not have that, have a do-over situation? Are there anything else that you would have done?
Well, of course, like we just said, I mean, trying to plan as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's really hard. But just know that, you know, when you're going through it and when it's the beginning, you see no end in sight. You're like, how am I ever going to continue? How am I going to do this? And it is all about time, and time is the worst thing. And the concept of time now is so weird, you know, because you're just like, was that before Keith? Was that after Keith? When was that, you know? And so just know that at some point you will be able to get up and do what you have to do. And, you know, you may not ever say, like, there's people that are like, how are you today? And you may not ever be able to say, I'm good, or you may not say I'm good for like a really long time. It just, it really is your journey, and don't compare it to anyone else's. It's you, you know, you're just minute by minute, break it down, look for the peace in each day. Even if it's the tiniest, littlest thing, lemon in your water, nice coffee, a good song, a song in the car, break it down to the tiniest, tiniest thing and just take it from there.
Okay, we're going to do it. They're going to do it. And good news for you guys that are listening. If you have questions for Janelle or I, like, honestly, know that you could always email us at community@twiniversity.com. Janelle, I love you so much.
Love you,
I'm
Nat.
Definitely, definitely, definitely making a journey over that bridge.
Yes,
to come to you. That toll is expensive. Make it worth my while. I'm coming. I'm coming for the iced coffee. I can't wait.
Yes.
But Janelle, thank you so much for playing with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Janelle, you stay right there. But for the rest of you, you go back to doing whatever you were doing. And this is probably, I don't know if I was talking to anybody else, if I would have been so like, this is so matter of fact about it. And I don't know also if I've dealt with enough so many people that this is just life. And then we go to the next part. And like Janelle said, you just find the next moment and you go from moment to moment. So I don't know if it's that I'm trying to find Janelle's, that I'm making Janelle have another piece of lemon in her coffee, in her tea, because there's definitely a mechanism in me that just wants to make you feel better. That's definitely something. But for all of you that are listening out there, if you don't have somebody, you don't have to do this by yourself. You could literally join us every, we have a monthly meeting, the first Monday of the month. Come and bring anything, no matter how heavy your baggage is, we will help you carry it.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
I love it. All right, Janelle, say goodbye to the universe.
Goodbye.
All right, kids, if you need anything else from us, you know where to find us, just twiniversity.com. If you have questions, community at twiniversity.com, or drop us a line on any social platform anywhere in the universe. And genuinely, if you have a moment, I would love if you would even just like, thumbs up something on this podcast, because the algorithm is just nuts and we're just trying to help more twin families have better lives every single day.
Yeah.
So definitely. Until later, alligators, thanks for listening. See you later.